Welcome to the Hooper's Edge podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Steve Kramer. And in this episode, I'm joined once again by personal trainer, fitness guru, Zach Kramer. And in this episode, we talk about his high school playing days and the shooter's mentality. So as we talk about shooting in this episode, it's not so much the technique or the drills. It's a lot of the mindset that we can apply to shooting. And in all honesty, many other areas of life to help us find success. So if you're looking to improve your mental toughness, the mentality, whether it's shooting or anything else, this is going to be a great episode. And make sure that you listen all the way through to the end as Zach and I share a little bit about our online training app that's coming out this Friday. You can get access. I got a special offer. We're sending out free gear. It's a pretty sick deal for the first few days of our new app that's coming out. I hope you guys enjoy the show. Make sure to leave a positive rating and review if you enjoy it. Share it out with somebody else who you think may also find some benefit from it. Thanks again. Thanks to Zach for spending some time with us. Let's get to the show. Welcome to the Hooper's Edge podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Steve Kramer, joined by the middle brother, Zachary Kramer, out in West Michigan, as we talk some basketball today. So, Zach, how are you doing?
Good, man. Good. It's a little warmer today. Pretty pumped about that.
I had my first iced coffee that. Today. It was so hot.
Ooh, I had one yesterday.
Yeah. Cool. Very good. Very deal. Good. So, Zach, obviously, you're in the fitness business. You're deep in the fitness game. But what we want to go back in this episode, so you can give some of our listeners advice as they play basketball themselves, right? You can share some of your lessons and experience, positives, negatives, whatever that might be, to help that next generation. That is essentially what this podcast is all about, is trying to help the next hooper. So with that said, I'm trying to think of back to when you were in high school and I had come back from playing overseas, and going into that year, you were a sophomore in high school. So I remember helping out a little bit with your JV basketball team. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah. Sounds right.
Yep. And so then I was there as an assistant your sophomore year, your junior year, and then I moved to Ohio your senior year. So I want you to kind of talk a little bit about your high school career, your development. And obviously by the time you were a senior, you guys have one of the better teams in the state. You're one of the best players in the area. And so it was really cool to see that progression and that development over the years. So, I mean, where did that begin?
I think it probably started in middle school when I actually started taking it pretty seriously and recognizing that if you want to stand out and you want to be better than everybody else, then you need to do what nobody else wants to do. Get up early, like dad would coach high school track, so they would go and practice before school and I'd go with them, and I'd get up shots in the middle school. And so at that young age, it was like, okay, nobody else is here and I like it. I take pride in, because most people don't accomplish what they want to accomplish. So why would you do as most people do? So that's kind of been my mindset from a younger age, is you want to stand out, then you got to stand out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to do the things that are different in order to make that happen. So, I mean, you're one of the best shooters that's ever gone through USA. And, you know, maybe people don't think of that because you only spent 2 years on varsity. And what they need to know is, we had two of the best guards in the conference your sophomore year in high school. We had a first team all conference guy in Sean McBrayer. And at the two guard, we had a second team all conference guy in Nick Fletcher, who was a marksman, had a great senior year. So with pretty much any team in the conference besides USA's, you would have been on varsity, I think, and gotten quite a bit of minutes as well. Instead, you just tore it up on a JV basketball team for that season. So as we go through this, how did you become such a great shooter? I mean, that was your thing. Shooting the basketball. Yeah. How did you do that?
I think it's all in your head. Obviously repetition and practice is paramount. One of the most important things that can't be minimized, but you see people who are good practice shooters. You see people who are good, you know, game shooters. And sometimes it doesn't always translate to both sides as being consistently a good shooter. I think a lot of it is in your head, because even the worst guy at, you know, old man basketball, even he can get hot sometimes. Why did he get hot? Well, it was probably in his head. He probably hit a first shot and then his second shot. And then his brain went to that place of absolute confidence that he can ball all of a sudden. But no other day of the week is he doing that. His skill level isn't capable of that, but sometimes it happens. So I think what it comes down to is, like, you almost have to practice and shoot and be irrationally confident about it when it comes to believing and actually believing is every shot you take, it's going to go in. Not only is it going to go in, you're going to swish it so perfectly that it barely touches the net. It just shoots through, and every shot is like that. And is it irrational? Does it actually happen every single time? No, but what good is it for me to have any lack of confidence if the purpose is to make it? The purpose of me shooting it is to make it. Why am I practicing? I'm not throwing up any lackadaisical shots when I'm practicing, when I'm warming up. Everything is purposed. The purpose of shooting is to make it. So I'm going to believe every single time that the ball leaves my hands that it's going to go in. I think that's a really huge, huge deal.
You mentioned two really important things. One, putting in the repetitions, the work, taking that seriously. And obviously the mindset, the mentality of being a great shooter. And they somewhat cross over. It's easier to have confidence when you know you've worked your tail off and you've put in thousands of shots and tons of hours. You say, no, I've earned the right to take shots and make shots because I've put in that work. But there's also another side of it that all great shooters have, and especially your senior year when you just went on a crazy run. And so dig in a little deeper on this, but when you're really, really doing well shooting the basketball, there's no fear. You don't fear of missing a shot. You have no thought about what the result is going to be if that result was negative. It's just you're doing what you're supposed to do. Can you talk about the mindset of shooting the basketball at a high level?
I think that when you're at that level, I think it's important to either know that your team has your back and that they want you to shoot the ball and that your coach wants you to shoot the ball. I think that's important. Or think about, like, okay, what's the actual worst thing that can happen? Is I miss again. Coach says stop. But until then, I'm going to shoot and I'm going to believe that every single shot is going to go in. So what I made sure that I did is some people, they can go to the gym and they can, you know, have a good time. They can goof around. They can do those types of things. I couldn't do that. I had to learn and study myself in the way that my brain works on game day so that I can be as focused in once the shots really, really, really matter. So I had to go about it really, really seriously and focus and envision just making every shot every single time. But also, like, yeah, like knowing that my coach, he's given me the green light. Our dad would tell me, like, your bad shot is better than most of your teammates' good shots. So it's okay to, you know, take some risks sometimes and pull up. But also I think sometimes you hit like a flow state when you're not really even thinking about it. You're like, the ball is in the air and you're like, did I just shoot that? Like, that was crazy. Like, if I actually thought about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. But now, once you're in that place of flowing and you're hot and you're feeling good, you're just at another level. Hmm. And I don't know if that answers your question.
I mean, you mentioned being in the flow, and You're right. When you're in the flow, there is no fear. There is no thinking of what's going to happen, right? So at some point you rationalized going in like, well, what's the worst that can happen? I missed the shot. So what? That is just the worst thing that can happen. That's not that big of a deal. So then you start playing, right? And you start to get into some type of a rhythm. And then even thinking that thought of, well, what's the worst going to happen? That doesn't even come into play anymore. Like you've already passed that level. And once you get into the flow, things slow down and you're able to almost anticipate at a level where everything is a split second faster than what everybody else is doing. Now, you were essentially in this state for much of your senior year, but not your junior year. All right. And so let's give a little background.
Yeah.
You tore it up your JV year as a JV player. You go on to varsity. This was my second year coaching at USA. So my first year coaching at USA, we lost the league title on a turnaround half court shot at Bad X. I remember it like it was yesterday because our team with Nick and Sean and some really good players, they had never won anything. And they were picked out of like six or seven teams in the conference to finish in like fourth or fifth place. Nobody expected them to be successful. And we believed as a coaching staff and them as a group, like, no, we're better. If we really hunker down, we can have a great season. And so we worked and it came down to, if we won this last game, we were going to win a share of the league title with Reese, who we had split with. And it was a back and forth game. A couple things happened. And I think we are up two and they have the ball and they call timeout. And so we put in a soft press so they can't get a deep throw down to the other side and get a good shot, because there's only like 4 seconds left on the clock. So we put in a soft press, say, hey, we're not going to get beat deep. We're going to keep them in front. Okay, everybody's got it. Looks good. It works. The soft press works. They tried to throw it to about half court. We deflected the pass, so it's a loose ball. And I don't know who it was, but a kid picks the basketball up facing, you know, the wrong way, because he's got to pick the basketball up. And in one motion, turns and launches a shot from half court, nails it at the buzzer. And that's how we lost the league title. And I mean, if there was a win that I could get back for somebody else, that would be it. Because it was like, man, we did pretty much everything right. And it just came down to, you know, luck, essentially. Like, what are the chances of not looking at the hoop and in one motion picking up a ball and shooting it the other direction and it goes in? Like, how many times would you have to practice that for it to go in? Not very often, right? Especially with people around trying to stop you from doing it. In that year,
that sucks.
That year we were very good. I thought the next year we had even more talent on that team with some guys we brought in, but we didn't have a very good season. I think part of that was on us as coaches. We should have played players like you more, right? We played much of that season with Brendan Ballard and Seth Gangler together. And they were essentially two really big, strong centers. We played two centers a lot of time at the same time. And we struggled throughout the course of that season. There was just a lot of things that we struggled with. And so you didn't get as many minutes as you should have. Fast forward, and we had a tough year. By the time we figured that out, we were in districts. We played you more minutes. We knocked off, I think, the 10th ranked team in the state, which was Cass City. We play Harbor Beach in the next round, where again, we're playing you more minutes. You're playing well, team playing well. And again, we lose the district championship on a game-winning three-pointer. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's, to some sophomore kid, and he didn't really shoot the ball that much. He turned out to be pretty good as he got older, but it's like that kid, like, just, that was a nightmare as well.
So I know I'm explaining this a long story, but essentially there were 2 years that I was there. We lost a league title on a half court shot. We lost the district championship
on a game-winning shot with a couple seconds left to a guy that we wanted to take the shot. That was part of the game plan out of the timeout, was to have him essentially take the shot. He shot it, he made it. Tip your hat to him. Nice shot. Uh-huh. And your senior year comes along, and all the struggle, like, you have more playing time. Some guys have graduated. You have an opportunity. Are you going to seize it or not? And you do. You average like 17 a game. You shoot like 50% from the three-point line for the season, which is nuts. And you average like almost 4 3-pointers made per year. So talk about that transition, because I know the transition wasn't all of a sudden you started practicing, because you were practicing hard all along. Mm-hmm. This is where some of that mentality comes in. Go ahead.
I think the difference about junior and senior years, yeah, I played a little better, but I wasn't that confident on that team, because there's a few guys who were I didn't get along with them very well. They kind of had like there wasn't the leadership on the team that I thought, you know, like, if I were to lead, this is not how I would do it.
We didn't have good chemistry that year, for sure.
Not good chemistry. And I think that's one thing, is I'm about to shoot the ball, but this guy, he shoots it every time, or this guy shoots it every time. So when I get it, it's like, should I shoot it? Yeah. I'm questioning myself. I'm like, what are the repercussions? Because after I miss, I know that somebody's going to come up to be like, Hey, I was open. Be like, well, get out of my face. Like, I was open too. I was the one who shot it. Right. But if you're on a team like that, and the coaching staff isn't necessarily backing up a shooter, because what I really implemented into my coaching last year was like, I want to be like the therapist and the cheerleader to my main shooters. I want to make sure like they are confident. I want to tell them every shot's going in. I want to say, if you're open, you have this much space, you have the green light. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I want to give you peace about taking your shots. Right. And I didn't have that. I didn't have that with the chemistry of saying, dude, why'd you shoot that? I was open. But my senior year, I was quite honestly fed up. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is the chance for me to take the lead, and that we're not going to go down in these silly ways that the people, some of the teams that have been before us did. It's like, we can't leave anything up to chance anymore. Like, we have to play better. We have to come together. And that gave me more green lights, because my teammates knew, you know, I was taking charge. I was taking this very seriously. I was going to lead the team. And the coaches had my back as to the green lights, and they never questioned the shots that I took. Matter of fact, if I go back in time, I wish I would have shot even crazier shots, like deep threes, but that wasn't popular, because the year after, Steph Curry came and started going balling out. So then shooting deep threes got really popular in high school, whereas I would not shoot a three unless I was right on the line. And sometimes I would be a foot off the line. People are like, whoa, that's deep. I'm like, not anymore. It's really not deep anymore since Steph Curry came. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a big deal. Is, I think your teammates have a lot to do with it, and your coaches have a lot to do with it. And what's the worst thing that could happen to you? Do you believe in yourself, or do you not?
That's a great point, because some of this is the mental game that you're telling yourself. But as basketball players, we need to also think about, how are we treating our teammates? And, yeah, you know, are we contributing to them being better or worse? And a lot of times what that comes down to is what we say to them, right? It's not just, dude, we pass on the ball, you know, are we, you know, working hard in practice? But a lot of it is communication and body language, right? That says everything. Yeah. So, you know, if somebody takes a shot and they missed it, do you drop your head and do you pout because you thought you should have taken the shot? Or do you say something that's like, if they're a shooter like you were, you want them to keep shooting the ball, because they're going to help you win throughout the course of the year. And if they lose some of their mental toughness, that's going to hurt your team in the long run, right? if they miss a layup, if they miss a wide open shot, you should come down and be like, hey, I'm going to get you the next one. If you're a point guard, hey, let's run that play again. You were open. Next time you're open, take that shot. That's a good shot for you. Those are all things that build confidence in players. And especially if you are a player that strength is shooting the basketball like yours was, that becomes even more popular. If you're a player and you're a driver, you finish more at the rim or in transition, you're not going to need some of those things to be said to you as much, because shooting is so much of an art, so much of a skill. There's so much touch and confidence involved in that compared to somebody who can bully ball their way to the basket, right? That's not finesse.
Yeah.
Right. So, so it's a different type of player, right? It's also a little bit different of a mentality that you need to have if you want to be good at that specific thing. Now, the players that are amazing, they can do all of the above, right? But it's important for us to understand what different skill sets people have so that we can communicate to them the best to allow them to be successful, which is going to help our team. Okay. That is huge. And you really did that your senior year. And you guys win a district championship, a league championship, and a Greater Thumb Conference. That was like really tough. You had some really good teams in your side of the conference and the other side of the conference that you guys were playing. That was one of the last years, I think, where just the depth and the size and the athleticism in the Thumb area was super crazy. I mean, you had Brad Schaub, you had Austin Levan, you had Sean Pardee, you had the really good guy from Lakers, you had Harbor Beach, who was playing at a high level, winning district championships in basketball, you know, going and making runs in the football, state playoffs every year. Cass City had a ranked top 10 team. They had a big guy who went on to play at Central Michigan. I mean, how often is there a Division I basketball player coming out of the Thumb? And you guys were playing against them with Ballard and all those guys. There was just a ton of really good players during that time. So to do what you guys did was really, really impressive. So with that in mind, what's your advice based on some of your successes, some of your struggles that you would pass along to the player who's listening right now?
I'd say if you can do it in practice, if you can get hot in practice, if you're comfortable in practice, if you can do it in practice, you should be able to do it in a game. And you need to figure out mentally if there's a block that's changed in your head that's making your shot change once you enter into the game versus when you enter into practice. Because I've seen that at Mona Shores. Guy is smoking, just raining threes. But game time comes, he's short or he's long, or it's like he shoots it over the backboard. Like, what is going on? It's not a skill problem. It's a brain problem. So I would say, yo, if you're going to shoot the ball, you need to make sure you have the confidence to know that it's going to go in when you shoot it. I think that's obviously that's the entire point of shooting the ball. So what is it? What does your day look like? For me, I didn't smile. I didn't joke. I was laser focused and I was thinking about basketball all day long. Quite frankly, it probably wasn't that fun to be around. Like, some of my teammates would joke around and be like, guys, we're not joking around. We're here to play basketball, like focus on the JV, what they're doing. Like, I was a psycho in a lot of ways. But it was all things that built up my confidence so that when I came out onto the floor, it was business. It was time to go. And it was worth it. And I wouldn't change a thing about it, despite not being very well liked throughout the league. I had fun. One game that probably, this is the most fun game I've ever had. I've shot 10 for 11 from the field. I was just so hot. And this was the game against Vassar where it was going to be the difference maker. If we lost, then it was going to be a three-way tie for the league. But if we win, then we're not sharing with anybody. There's no way that, you know, anybody has a chance. So we have to knock off Vassar. And I went into that and they have
Vassar had a really good team. I think they had two guys that played football for Saginaw Valley, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Some freaks like how old are you, bro? And he's just like jacked out of his mind. He's guarding me and he's he had some hope at first, but I definitely broke his will as I just torched him. And that was the most fun I've ever had, but it came into the mindset of like, there's a job to do. There's a purpose to why I'm on the floor. There's an amount of confidence that I'm going into because the job has to be done. So when I'm shooting, the purpose is for every single thing to fall. So didn't matter who was guarding me. That's not something that triggers in my brain. That's just another guy with a different colored jersey and a number that I have to know so that I know people know who I'm guarding. Who's guarding me does not matter in the slightest. I've had games where I pull up for a shot and the coach told the player to make sure that I land on their feet so that I fall down after every single shot. And I would tell the ref, be like, dude, I need landing room. The ref was too dumb
to even care. That was before I was getting called for a foul a lot, was back then.
Oh my gosh.
People weren't getting called for a foul on that.
So I was getting mad, which wasn't good for them, but at least they were trying to get in my head about, you know, I would go up and they would straighten their fingers out and jab me in the stomach. Wouldn't help. Didn't matter. I just had a sore stomach at the end of the night. But I'm still going to rain. There's nothing you can do about it. It doesn't matter who's guarding me. I'm going to come in with irrational confidence that every single shot is going to fall. And the closest I ever got was 10 for 11. And the worst I've ever done, which I wasn't in the right headspace. I had 2 points, but Ballard got all my rebounds and he had 38 points. So it worked out.
Hey, you combined for 40 points and shots, the two leading scorers.
I know. But if I was hitting, you know, he wouldn't have had any rebounds. So that was kind of funny, but that was a horrible night for me. But overall, yeah, that's my advice. Nothing in the world matters. Nothing in the world matters when you're shooting the ball except for that ball to go in.
And that's the thing about shooting is, okay, you had 2 points. Did that affect you the next game? Mm-hmm. Probably not, right?
Not at all.
Yeah, you have to come back, still have that same confidence, say, hey, it wasn't my night, but we're right back at it. I know I've put in the work. Let's get after it again. I think that's really, really important stuff. I loved working with you and training you. You were one of the first people that I got to work with coming back from Europe. So, you know, the times that we spent in the gym was a ton of fun for me. And you know, it was a learning experience for me trying to figure out, okay, what were the things that I was doing overseas and how does that translate to working with somebody who's just a teenager here and what are some things that we can do to continue to improve. And shooting was something that we spent the most time on. And thankfully that worked. I think of Jake Holland was another guy who I spent a lot of time working out with those very first years after coming back from overseas. And even when I was playing professionally last year, training with him during the summer, and Jake had played a year at Delta. He was okay. You know, he was good enough to be at Delta. Jake, he works very hard. He's a hard worker. So that's what gets you out the door. If you don't work hard, none of this stuff we're talking about is going to help you, right? That is the basement foundational thing, is that you have to work hard first. Jake did that. We started working out very consistently, from some speed and agility to shooting, work on some of his post stuff. I didn't do the guard work with him because he was a post. He was not a post, but he was a big. And so we worked a lot on picking and popping, facing up in the post, different types of post moves, shooting the basketball. And he gets a full ride after he plays at Delta to continue to play college basketball. And that's when the light really went on. Saying, okay, not only did this stuff work for me, but now I'm starting to teach it to other people and it's working for them as well. So that was like the light bulb moment, even before I started my business, where I'm working with people and I'm like, all right, this dude got a full ride from, you know, all the work that he's putting in, credit to him. But our workouts throughout the course of the summer were a big part of that. We spent a ton of time training together. And I think the same can be said for a lot of your career. You worked really hard and we put a ton of time together in the gym, and the results speak for themselves, which is one of the things I wanted to share as we finish out the podcast. Is our Kramer basketball training app comes out this coming Friday. And I'll take you back to when I was a kid. I remember my grandma taking me to Barnes and Noble, right? The bookstore. They used to get books at stores, mm-hmm. not online, right? Just a long time ago.
Yeah.
We're at Barnes and Noble. And obviously I go to the sports section. I'm looking for something about basketball. So I'm looking through the basketball books and I find a book that isn't about basketball. It's a how to improve basketball book. It's by a guy named Steve Alford, who played at Indiana. He went on to play in the NBA. And then this book, basically it was a short book that he explained the drills he did, how much he practiced. And there was a little sheet in the middle of it that was a workout that he created. And it was like just an Excel document of, you know, free throws and mic and layups and pull up jump shots, drive layups, reverse layups, threes. And I ate it up. And that summer, and I'm probably in seventh grade, I go home in 10 days, those 10 workouts are done. I fly through. And I'm saying, okay, the book is filled up. Now what do I do? So I go onto my parents' computer and I start to create some of my own workouts. I'm taking some of the workouts from the book, and then I'm taking some of the things that I know I want to practice and work on, and I'm typing them on a Word document, and I'm putting the little tables in a Word document for how many shots I'm going to make. And I'm printing this out, and then I get my pencil and I'm writing, okay, I had to make 10. It took me 16 shots to do it. I had to make 12 of these. It took me 15 shots to do it. And I started creating my own, training myself, creating my own basketball workouts when I was in junior high. And I continued to do this for a really long time. Fast forward to now, I still love creating workouts. And I've been able to create a bunch of them with our app that you know a lot about, so that we can help an unlimited amount of players and coaches improve their game. So I want to share with you quick the three programs that we've put into our Kramer basketball training off the bat that you can get access to. We put in a 3-month strength and conditioning off-season program, basketball focused. It's 3 days of lifting and it's 2 days of speed and agility. We put in what I call the shooter's blueprint, which is, that's the thing that I get asked to teach more than anything else, is to help people shoot the basketball, from the technique to the fundamentals, to the drills, to the understanding, shooting the basketball. 9-week shooting program. You can get access to all of our drills. You can get access to the workouts. You're like, well, I can't do the full program. You still get all the drills and the challenges. It's really cool. The one thing that I really like about it is in the first week, the fifth week, and the last week, we have specific drills that you use to challenge yourself so you can see your improvement. So for example, the first week you're trying the program out, you perform this, let's say it's a 1-minute long shooting drill, and you get a certain amount of points. Well, 5 weeks later, we're going to do that drill again. You're going to see how much you got better. And then in 9 weeks, you're going to do that drill again, right? And we have a bunch of those. So not only are you doing all the workouts and the shot types, where I give you the sets to do, how many shots to make, all of those different things, but we're testing at 3 different points throughout the program so you can see yourself improving. Right? We talked about confidence.
Dang, that's sweet.
That's a way that we can help build your confidence by showing you. You can feel improvement. I think that's the number one thing. When you're working hard, Zach, when you're lifting, whatever it is, you feel like, yeah, I'm getting better. That's number one. But the other really important piece to that is not just feel, but do you have proof, right? When you lift weights, you're like, oh, I can lift more weights now than I could last year. So that's proof. When you're doing the shooter's blueprint, we give you proof, right? You can shoot better at the end than you can in the beginning by doing some of these drills. I'm really excited about that. And then the third one that you get when you join our program right now, and I say third one because we have more programs that are going to come out throughout the course of the year. But the third one is called Finishing School. And Finishing School is really, really important. Finishing School is so important. I've talked to college coaches and I say, what do you think is a skill that separates a lot of players when you're looking at recruiting a potential college player? And I've heard this. I've heard, well, we have players that can shoot it, but if you run them off the shot, can they do everything when they get to the basket to score? Often not both. And I've heard from other, well, they can handle it. They can really handle the ball. They can get to the basket. But when they get to the basket, Are they making the right decisions? Are they making the right moves? Are they able to finish once they get there? Right. A lot of times that answer is no. And that sometimes that's the difference between you getting offered a spot on a college team or not, is your ability to, they take something away and you can finish at the rim. So that's one of the first programs that we put in, is a 4-week program to help you finish around the basket easier. And this one's cool because it's only about a 20-minute workout. It doesn't seem like very long, right? But the thing that's special about it is most of us, how long do we really spend finishing? Just working on finishing.
Right.
Not very long, right? Usually you might do some warm-up, something close to the basket, and then you push it out. So the fact that we're going high intensity for about 20 minutes is probably 15 to 20 minutes longer than most players actually work on their finishing. So you're going to be surprised doing this program, saying, man, I'm only working out 20 minutes of workout, of how fast your game is going to improve when it comes to your touch, your finishing, your footwork around the rim. This is going to be a separator for a lot of players. And I'll be honest with you, Zach, this is something that not only do I wish I would have worked with you on more when you were a player, this is something that I wish I would have worked on more when I was a player. Like, this is something where I'm like, man, if I had what I've created now 20 years ago to work on my finishing and some of these different types of footworks and shots, the finishing would have been off the chart. And that would have been crazy because I could already shoot it, could already pull up. And now I'm getting to the rim and I have every option as far as finishing, working on different moves. Game would have been on a whole another level. So I'm really excited to share that with you guys. So listen to our Friday podcast, which is going to come out, and we're going to give everybody who's listening a special coupon code where they're going to get 50% off the first month of training. Ooh. And we're going to send you a free Kramer basketball jump rope. So like, dang. Everything that you want to get better, half off the first month, free Kramer basketball jump rope. You know, I like the jump rope. There's jump rope in some of our workouts. I want to give you everything that you need to try this program out for a month. No excuses. And you see what's in there in the first day of logging on. It's on. Let's get better. I'm excited, man.
Jeez. Yeah, I remember working out after school with you, and it was like, it was fun going into it, knowing like, all right, this is going to be challenging, but there's things that I, like, we worked out for years at a time, but it seemed like most of the time there was always something I didn't expect, something I didn't know, or like a drill I've never done, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like the different ways to finish, I think, like, especially like, something I wanted to ask you about is like, as a person who's played at so many different levels, who, you know, obviously you're gifted athletically in some ways, but in comparison to the competition that you have played against, it's you've had the necessity to build up your skill at such a higher level to hang with the guys who are legitimately like titans and freaks of nature. You know, with playing ball over in Europe professionally. So that's something that, like, if as a person, like, who do you want to learn how to, I don't know, dunk from? A guy who's 7 foot or a guy who's, you know, 6 foot? Like, of course, not the 7 foot guy. He had nothing to teach you, you know, but the guy who, you know, he gets the basket, he spins. It's like, okay, he's met with this situation, but in his brain, you're processing and programming automatically because you've practiced it so many times that you have literally like 5 weapons and 5 different ways that you can attack this person stepping this angle and score, or this way and score. As I've played with you many, many times, and we could play an entire game and you can either, you're so good at it, you could do a spin every single time and score, or you could go an entire game and you'd never do the same move twice, which is ridiculous and kind of funny when I get to play with you. But that's something that I admire, that I think that people may or may not think about, is the level of success. And I don't know if a lot of people have seen you play either. It's a sight, it's a spectacle. And it's not a God gifted freak of nature ball in a LeBron James pounded down to the basket. It's like these skills had to be worked on and developed, right, and broken down into a science.
Yeah, absolutely. So that
can be applicable to anybody.
And I think it starts back to, like I was talking about junior highs, because I think people, you know, you look at this poster behind me of me dunking and I got, you know, big muscles and stuff like that. I was not even close to that the majority of my life and my playing career. Like in junior high, mm-hmm, and throughout high school, I was below the average height. I was slow. I had no muscles. Like I wasn't quick. What did I have? I had skills. I had practiced, yeah, so much working on my game, shooting the basketball, trying to learn and understand the game, that I was able to be a really good player without any of the physical attributes that a player had. Now, between my sophomore year and my junior in high school, I grew 4 inches. That helps, no doubt. Size helps. Like, yeah, I'm not saying any that doesn't. That's great. But what I had even before that was I had spent so much time doing drills in the driveway and working on my game that just growing 4 inches and not even putting on a whole lot of muscle, not, you know, getting a whole lot faster, but just the fact that I grown, and then I started to really work on my jumping at the same time. So I became able to jump really high. And now, mm-hmm, it was just like, boom. Okay, here's a big, big time high school player, right, for our area. But it was all based on the fact that I had skills well before I had any type of athleticism. Now, as I get older and you go to college, and then especially when I start to play overseas, I continued to work on my body as well as my skills. So yes, I did get stronger. I did get heavier. I got more athletic as those years went on, especially in college and in high school. When I look back at high school, I was a long player who could really jump, but I wasn't really athletic. Like I wasn't fast. I wasn't quick. I wasn't strong. Like those big leaps happened really like when I was like 21, 22, 23, like getting older and continuing to work on my game. Even at the high school level, if you took away, okay, I grew 4 inches. If you took away the jumping ability, I was still going to be a really, really good player because of the skills that I had worked on. Then you fast forward and go all the way overseas where I'm playing against guys from the ACC, guys from the Big Ten. And just like you mentioned, it's almost like I'm back to the 5'10 high school version of myself again, playing against those guys, right? Because here I am, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm faster, but guess what? They are all bigger, stronger, and faster than me. And so, so if I didn't have those skills that I've worked on at such a young age and continue to work on throughout my playing career, you know, I'm not able to play basketball the way that I did for the amount of time that I did. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching the game. That's why I'm so passionate about our new app that's coming out, is because I know that it works. It's proven. I proved it from myself. I proved it with the players that we've worked with. And the best thing is it keeps getting better. I'm a much smarter coach than I was 5 years ago. Much, much smarter than I was, you know, 10 years ago when I was still playing overseas. So I know that if those things were working back then, how much more are they going to work and help the players that we work with now, based on all the extra knowledge that I have about teaching, coaching, and learning the game. So if you have questions about our app, make sure that you hit me up. Make sure you check out my social media. Our next podcast episode is going to come out as we give you the code to get half off the first month. Free current basketball jump rope we're going to ship to you because we want you to get off on the right track. This is where I pass it over to you, Zach, because you have something that's pretty awesome as well with your app system that you work with people who are trying, whether they're trying to get stronger, lose weight. You've done some cool challenges with people that are your members on getting stronger. So Why don't you talk about that with us a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. Me and you go through the same app program as well, actually. So it's a really cool, easy, pretty fluid app to go through that people can jump on and join and get right into it. I got programs on there for anything from athletic stuff to just trying to gain weight, trying to lose weight, as well as tracking nutrition along with you, see what you're eating, hold you accountable, and be able to message people on there like, hey, dude, you ate too much this day. Hey, we need some more calories. Hey, it looks like you had too much sodium. Let's dial that back, or too much sugar, whatever it might be. It's pretty fun to be able to get in there and see what people are doing, kind of have, if they're using it correctly, which is so easy, to have a roundabout about their life, about how do we ensure and guarantee you're making progress. Yes, you're working out. Yes, you're eating these things. Okay, then A plus B equals C. What's that look like? Okay, then now we have a full rounded out picture of how we can make perfect changes specifically to your body and your body type. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty fun to do that. And yeah, like you said about the challenges, you don't have to be a member to be in some of these circumference challenges. If you're simply trying to change either gaining weight or losing weight, I encourage that you follow me at Zach Kramer 11 and you jump in one of our circumference challenges, because we got every single person making progress, which is super fun. Last month we did arms. We just measured our arms and everybody got bigger arms. Yay, awesome. One guy gained 10 pounds and his before and after picture is insane. And it was free. It was just, let's work together. You know, it's fun for me. It holds me accountable to you guys and you guys to me, and have a little community working together. And this month we're doing mid thigh and calves, and it's must change whether you grow or you shrink is the winner. But how do you really lose if you're working with a trainer who's going to take it upon himself to make sure that you're getting where you want to be? So that's pretty fun. So if anybody's interested in that, follow me and we'll get you in on the next one. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's been really, really fun. And yeah, I love what I do.
And that shows. So you're doing some really awesome stuff. And you know, that's the thing that people appreciate is, are they working with somebody who really cares and who really enjoys what they do? And you and I are both in that category. Like, we love what we do. We are self practitioners. So we can, you know, we're not going to be lazy and all this stuff and then tell you to do the exact opposite of what we're actually doing. We wouldn't ask you to do something that we wouldn't do ourselves. And people appreciate that. Parents appreciate that. Coaches appreciate that. Athletes appreciate that. So we'll put Zach's contact information in the description below. We'll put some of our links below. Make sure you hit Zach up. You're doing some great stuff. Zach, continue to keep up the great work. And thanks for being on the Hooper's Edge podcast.
Heck yeah, man. It's always an honor. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Get after it today. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.